Can you give us some insight into what libertarianism is as a political philosophy?
All right, so libertarianism is one of those philosophies that really focuses on individual liberty. So when you think about the relationship between us as individual people and the state or other agents that are inherently forceful, libertarianism is about how can we protect the motivations, the actions, whatever you want to do with your life as an individual. So you can sort of think of libertarianism as on the other side of socialism, for example. Socialism is very much about collective thinking and surrendering a lot of that power to the state for the greater good, part of that collectivist thinking. Whereas libertarianism is very much about the rights of the individual to live their life and make their own pursuits. So it's very free market capitalist. So a bit more, I suppose, right-wing on that end, if you look at the political spectrum that way. But it's also really very progressive. So it's very much for people making their own decisions with what they want to do in their bedrooms without the government regulating it. Libertarians tend to be very progressive on things like drug law reform. So if you can follow that thinking, if there's anything that involves aggression by the state, libertarians are going to be against it or very suspicious of it.
With Senator David Lynham and the Liberal Democrats currently in Parliament, do you think his prominence had put the libertarians into Australia's attention?
I think so. I think people who are a little politically astute will have always known what libertarians were. I mean, you think about people who are students of philosophy, think of someone like John Stuart Mill or even, you know, let's say the book Anarchy State and Utopia by Nozick. So people who are a bit more astute sort of know what libertarianism is, or at least classical liberalism, sometimes known as classical liberalism, which is a softer form of libertarianism, I suppose. David Lynham, I think, definitely has helped. I think he's definitely helped that. But it's also important to remember that David Lynham as a senator is sort of one individual, a very important individual to Australian libertarianism, but is just one individual. So he's got his own focus and his own style about what individual liberty means. Whereas you might get someone, so for example, in Queensland, the Liberal Democrat senatorial candidate, his name was Gabe Buckley. And he's, if you put him and David next to each other, you would think they were, you know, they'd hate each other, they'd be completely different people. But, you know, Gabe's a, you know, punk rock hillbilly kind of guy who loves riding his motorcycle and is very, he's a vegan and loves, he supports drug law reform. He's all those kinds of things are things that Gabe's interested in. So libertarianism is hard to pin down your stereotypical libertarian. So it's hard to say that whether David is the one who put it on the map necessarily, because he's really sort of just one style, whereas lots of people who might not like David Lynham necessarily are still attracted to libertarianism.
So what has the most prominent libertarians here gained in terms of government policy?
Look, I think let's use the example of same-sex marriage. It's particularly in the United States, I would say. The Libertarian Party in the United States were massive advocates of same-sex marriage and same-sex rights for much longer than even the Democrats even thought about it or the Republicans did. That's a good example of where it's been very, very progressive and we've been yielding some good outcomes. If you look at, for example, marijuana, you know, whether marijuana is illegal or not, libertarians have always been very progressive on drug law reform, thinking that the government, coming in and arresting you is probably the most dangerous part of smoking marijuana. So now we're seeing a bit more progress regarding those particular issues. Those are two really good examples that I can think of where libertarians have been saying, you know, this is what we believe for such a long time, and, you know, the crowd are coming along. But alternatively, when you see societies which we have, you know, the rise of Trump, there's a lot of ethno-nationalism, a lot of people looking to government for authority, whether it's right-wing governments or left-wing governments. You have to remember, libertarians are up against it as well. We're attracting a lot of people who are very in support of freedom of speech. We attract a lot of people who don't want to be part of some sort of gross alt-right fanboy group, but do want to make sure that they're can contribute to political discussion and they're free to do so. So that's kind of how we're getting. We're getting people who really want to be free but don't want to jump in with crazy left-wing fanatics or the crazy right, alt-right type.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to The Daily at 2SER, where I'm joined by Danielle Davidson, an executive member of the Australian Libertarian Society, talking to us about the upcoming Freedman Conference, a gathering of libertarians that will be held in Sydney this weekend, and the growth of libertarians across the country. So, Danielle, the Freedman Conference, which will be held this weekend in Sydney, I'm wondering how much influence has it had on the movement?
I think a lot. I think the Freedman Conference is an incredibly great event to bring people together. And it's a great place to learn things. So if you're not a libertarian, but you're interested in ideas, discussion, and being challenged, it's a really, really great place to go and meet people and talk to people in a free setting. No one's going to get upset with you for having a different view. So if you're a fanatical, you know, rusted-on socialist, then it's actually a really great place to go to get some different perspectives. And I think the richness of the Freedman Conference as a way of bringing people together and as a way of facilitating discussion has attracted so many people, you know, to just want to keep coming to it and keep going. And also, I mean, it's a great party. Let's not forget, a conference always has, you know, a few drinks on and everyone has a really great time. So it's a really good social event as well.
So, yeah, one final question. There is a lot of skepticism surrounding classical liberalism, mostly due to the push of, you know, a hedonistic lifestyles and greed from its advocates, as well as, you know, the idea that a smaller government is not really feasible in modern societies. So how would you respond to these claims and how accurate are they?
Well, there's a couple of different ways. So I'll deal with the issue of hedonism. So I suppose that's the criticism that we get from people who are on the far right or just, you know, conservatives or on the far right. They think that libertarianism is advocates of, you know, free love and do whatever you want. Now, me personally, I can talk about from my experience, I'm actually quite a conservative person in my own life. I'm a Catholic. I, you know, live quite conservatively, but just because I choose to live conservatively and I, you know, have certain beliefs doesn't mean that my beliefs should impinge on the rights of others. So I'm not. It's not about being hedonistic. It's about being free to be hedonistic if you want to, but you have to take responsibility for what that means. So certain actions have certain consequences, like, you know, five-year-old stuff, really. So that's really what libertarianism's answer is that it's not the government's job to come in and regulate your personal life and your social life. The government can't come in and tell you what to believe and make you believe in God, or can't stop you from being gay or falling in love with whoever you want or making choices as an adult. You know, that's our sort of response to that, what the right tend to say about us. And then you go to what the left talk about when they talk about small government isn't the way forward, it's actually bad, negative, and capitalism is horrible and evil. Generally, my response to that, if I can do a little grab, is that you look at the countries that have free markets. Tends to be Western countries, Western liberal democracy, where, you know, where you have that sort of movement of capital all around and free movement. You know, you have those societies, and then you have societies where there's, you know, lots of state control. And I'm not talking about, you know, minor little bits of state control where we can argue and tinker on the edges. I'm talking about societies where the government oversteps its bounds. So you look at countries like Venezuela, or you look at North Korea, or you look at all the history of socialist countries. Where are people moving to? People run from socialism towards liberty. They do it that people vote with their feet. So rather than go into the economic argument right here or on the radio, just look at what choices people make and how people will risk their lives to get away from regimes that are controlling and dogmatic and are not in favour of liberty. People will always move to more progressive regimes.
All right. Danielle, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're very welcome.